this is the takeaway. You know, we can now count the Egyptian uprising in weeks, not days, and it does look as though some kind of change is really moving in Egypt. The man orchestrating the change right now is Omar Suleiman.
We think.
As far as we know.
Yeah, right.
He is meeting
Mubarak
with opposition,
groups.
Omar Suleiman is the vice president whose tenure can also be measured in weeks. Hosni Mubarak appointed him vice president. But before that, he was the director of the Egyptian National Intelligence Agency. Perhaps that's why he was so quick to say he might use police tools to deal with the uprising and clear Tahrir Square. Those comments irked the White House, clearly, because here's what White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs had to say on Tuesday.
Yesterday, I think the Vice President Suleiman made some particularly unhelpful comments about Egypt not being ready for democracy, about not seeing a lift of the emergency law. And I don't think that in any way squares with what those seeking greater opportunity and freedom think is a timetable for progress.
Joining us now is Patrick Lang, retired Army colonel, former head of Middle East Intelligence at the Defense Intelligence Agency. And Patrick, you have known and you worked with Egyptian Vice President Omar Suleiman for 20 years, right?
Yeah, that's true. As long as I was still in government. At that time, he was head of both Egyptian military intelligence and then after that of civilian intelligence. And we had a cooperating relationship with them, and we would visit back and forth several times a year of conferences. After I retired and I went into business, I went to the Middle East often on business, and when I was in Egypt, I would go by to see him just because of the fact I find him a pleasant companion.
So tell us a little bit about Omar Suleiman. Clearly, as on a personal level, you say he was pleasant and smart, but what do we know about him as a leader?
Well, I've watched his leadership style with his own people and in both of those agencies. And I think that I always found him to be a considerate person who is careful not to offend people or hurt their feelings, things of that kind, and quite willing to listen to subordinates and to compromise. So I'm not surprised at all that in this situation, Mubarak has turned to him because he was always probably the most capable man in the government that Mubarak ran.
Well, I'm wondering then what your take is on Suleiman's comments this week, his comments that he's had enough of the protesters, that he may have to resort to what he calls police tools in order to clear the demonstrators out of Tahrir Square. How are we to take that then?
I don't think there's enough appreciation for here in this country for exactly how much stress this guy is under. It is an enormously difficult job. On the one hand, he has Mubarak, the pharaoh, still sitting on his throne, refusing to leave. That would simplify things tremendously if he would. On the other hand, he has the military and various other parts of Egyptian society pushing for some sort of calm. And in the streets, you have the demonstrators who demand that Mubarak go now. So he's somewhat trapped between the millstones here, and if he says something that sounds odd from time to time, I think we probably ought to try to look at what it is he's trying to do rather than what he happens to have said at any particular meeting.
But Patrick Lang, it's not the we that, meaning Americans in the media audience who are really the key constituency here, and you've described him as works well with others, a capable person, polite, I mean, I wonder if those are the qualities you need to inspire a populace who really are out in the streets and are planning to be there indefinitely. I mean, if he can't inspire this pro-democracy movement, he's gone.
He will be gone. I don't think you should see him as anything like a permanent leader for Egypt. He's 75 years old. He's had a number of heart attacks, been wounded a couple times in combat, and should be seen, I feel quite sure, as a transitional figure intending to broker a movement from where we are now until the time where some sort of electoral commission oversees a real election in the fall.
Well, heart attacks health. I mean, that's an argument for him to get out of the way, not be Dick Cheney.
He's not going to be Dick Cheney. He's in fact going to stay, I'm quite sure, until the transition is well underway, and we're moving toward the place where everybody thinks we ought to go, and then he is going to step aside. I feel sure he'll do that. He just seems extremely unlikely that he would see himself as a permanent president.
Well, I would imagine that there are concerns, not just in the White House, but throughout Washington and maybe in other countries as well, that the stress that Omar Suleiman is under, that's reflected, as you say, by his comments that he might use police tools to deal with the demonstrators, that stress could lead to even further aggression on the part of the government, on the part of the military or the police, and that would, in turn, worsen the situation in Egypt.
Well, I think you ought to ask yourself, if he decides he's going to leave because he's under too much pressure, who are you going to have instead in charge? You know, this is not a perfect world. And in fact, you're going to have somebody sitting in that chair at the head of that funny table. And I can't imagine somebody who is more moderate and more likely to take the country in a good direction than he is.
Well, but you say you don't think he has any aspirations to be president.
That's what I just said, yes.
Okay, so it should he not be president if the elections go forward? In your 20 years of experience with the Egyptian government, do you know of any other candidates who may take the reins from him?
Well, there are a lot of people who are quite possible. The idea that you're going to have a president who does not come out of the military somehow is extremely unlikely, I think, because you know the military has ruled the country since 1952, whether they wore suits or uniforms, and they are in fact the strongest power in the country. What you're probably going to see is some sort of coalition government with a military man at the head of it, somebody like the present chief of staff of the armed forces or the prime minister who was a former chief of staff of the Air Force, somebody like that. The idea that you would have a civilian be placed in the presidential chair immediately seems extremely unlikely to me.
But couldn't you have said the same thing about Iran or about Poland even against General Jaruzelski?
We're not talking about Iran or Poland. We're talking about Egypt, and I know what conditions are in this place, and I think that it seems extremely unlikely to me that you'll have a direct transformation to that. In Poland, you did have Jaruzelski, and then you had Lech Walesa afterwards, but there was a period of transition, and I think you're likely to have another military president before you get to a regime which is really truly a civilian regime.
Well, last question for you, Patrick Lang. There is a danger, do you not think, that Omar Suleiman at this point is too connected in the minds of the Egyptian people with Hosni Mubarak, that his presence there could hurt the transition rather than help it? Do you think?
No, I do not. As I've told you, I think he's by far the best person in order to lead that transition and then depart.
Okay, Patrick Lang, retired Army colonel, former head of Middle East Intelligence at the Defense Intelligence Agency, is known and worked with Omar Suleiman over 20 years. Thank you so much for joining us, Patrick.
You're welcome.
If you need more information, more context on what's going on in Egypt and throughout the Arab world, we've got our podcast, Wave of Change. It's available at thetakeaway.org. That's all the material, the great interviews and information that we can't fit on the on-air broadcast. That's at thetakeaway.org.